I want to take a moment out of what we've been doing here to talk again to our friend John Harris from the Tennessee Firearm Association. And the main reason being is that there is this ongoing court battle over the manifesto from the Covenant School shooting. The person who carried out that shooting had a series of notebooks and manifestos and written material. And there is a major court battle. The Tennessee Firearms Association and others say, we want to know what this is all about. We want to know, you know, what was in the motivation of the shooter so that we can understand it. The state legislature is, you know, right now scheduled to come back in August and write some kind of legislation, but it's not clear at all that they'll be able to see what the motivations of the shooter were. And then, to make things more complicated, there has been another group of people who've come in from the church, the school, and some of the parents of the people who were lost there at the school. And they have come and they said, we don't want this information revealed. Now, there's so many lawyers involved in this thing, but John's been very good at sort of walking us through it and giving us an update on where we stand with all of this. John, what is the latest?
The latest is that the show cause hearings, which would have addressed the issue of whether or not Metro could withhold the information that were scheduled for this Thursday and Friday, have now been continued at least until Friday, June the 16th, possibly later, and for a variety of reasons, including new attorneys coming into the case, the petitioners, the Tennessee Firearms Judicial Watch, other Tennessean, the Tennessee Star News, all filed appeals last week to ask the Court of Appeals to review, for example, the trial court's ruling that the covenant parties, the school, the church, and I think 100 or so of the families could intervene in the case to assert some interest that they have, in addition to those that were raised by Metro.
All right. So you say, how many lawyers, you say new lawyers keep coming into the case. How many lawyers are now tied up in this litigation in one way or another?
Yeah. Metro has, I think, five attorneys that are all Metro staff, involved. The petitioners, and there's four groups of those, have, I would say, six attorneys involved.
All right.
And then the Covenant School, the Covenant Church, and the Covenant Parent groups are represented by five law firms with a total of about 16 individual attorneys involved.
Wow. Wait, now that, you'd have to say, I mean, I know how these things can start to spiral out of control, but that's, I mean, 16 attorneys from the school, the church, and the parents group. And as I understand it, we're not talking first year law students here, right?
Oh, no. I mean, we've got, one attorney that just joined the case within the last week or so, used to be the United States attorney for the Middle District of Tennessee. Wow. A very well known attorney. Many of these attorneys, I've been practicing 38 years. Many of them have been practicing far longer than I have. And, I mean, it's easy to speculate that if you were to be looking at an hourly meter of the rates that we're getting charged when all of us are in the courtroom, you're probably looking at $15,000 or $20,000 an hour just in legal fees.
Good Lord. Well, I mean, but it's unusual for the parents and the church and the school to be, you know, to come out and do something like this. I mean, not that we've had anything quite like this particular shooting, but it is very interesting. And one wonders, with that kind of legal power that they're bringing to bear, that kind of legal muscle, you know, why that they feel so passionately about this. And they, have you gotten any indication from them as to what is their motivation for stopping this beyond the stated that they just think it'll be harmful to the community?
That's the stated motive that's contained in their pleadings. Now, of course, Metro's position is that they don't want to release the records or even redacted versions of the records until the criminal investigation is concluded, which they anticipate would take a year or more with a deceased shooter, which, you know, I guess it's possible there could be someone out there that might be potentially criminally liable, but, you know, who and what, we've got no indication. Yeah. But on the parent side and the school and the church, they're seeking the court to order a very unusual remedy, and that is that these records be permanently sealed so that no one ever finds out what the shooter wrote in her manifesto and records and other documents that the police department have in their possession that they obtained from either the deceased vehicle, from her person, and or from her residence, or yes, they're also hitting cell phones and social media and all that kind of stuff. But the school interest, the parents and all, they want these records permanently sealed, which is very unusual in an open records situation of this type. I mean, it's extremely unusual even that courts allow or that people even seek to intervene. Typically, these cases are between the individual or the group that ask for the public records to be provided and the government entity that possesses them, asserting that there's one of, you know, 700 or more exemptions under state law that would protect certain things from being disclosed.
Well, it's a pretty remarkable legal undertaking that's underway now. And it seems like, you know, as you say, that with more attorneys coming on every day, that this thing is not going to be resolved very quickly. I guess the appeals court, if they were to say right off the bat, you don't have the standing to enter this suit and say that you don't want to have it released, that would probably trim some time off the case. But I don't get the sense that that's likely to happen, quite frankly.
And we don't know. The appeals were filed last week. Yesterday, we filed emergency motions with the Court of Appeals to expedite the appellate review, which is unusual but appropriate probably here. Also filed motions with the Court of Appeals to issue what's called a mandamus, or essentially an order directing the trial court to cease and desist with efforts to conduct the show cause hearing, because it's not clear whether or not these intervenors should even be involved in the proceedings.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. John, I mean, give me your best sense of it. You're really good at, even though I know you have a stated opinion in the case, of trying to explain this thing for people who are trying to understand why it's going on and why it's taking so long. I don't get the sense that this is going to get resolved in time for the August special session, do you?
Well, no, if you just look at the Metro request for a year and where we are now, that would put us not only past the August special session, but it would also put us past the 2024 portion of this General Assembly, which means we would likely go through an entire additional election cycle. And these records, if Metro's correct, that they need a year to review them, wouldn't even be available potentially to the legislature until 2026.
Well, if the judge says we can't wait that long, that there is a compelling interest for the public to know what's going on. I mean, the governor has said he thinks that they should release that information. The state legislature says we can't even begin to meet and consider legislation until we understand a little bit about the motivation. You've got, you know, public interest groups and media groups that are now saying that this needs to be made public. It seems to me that the halfway measure would be for the judge to become a sort of the editor of this information and to decide what should come out and what should not come out. And if that happens, do you have confidence that it'll be done in a way where we can learn something, John?
Well, I do think you're exactly right. And the way these cases, these open records cases, proceed, that's exactly what the statutory structure is. The judge hears the objection. The judge typically has the authority to review the records unredacted and to decide, independent of the government entity, which records should be produced and which records, if any, should be redacted, in certain areas. So that's normally what's happening and typically what has happened by this point in time. And I don't have any reason at all to believe that this judge would not be able to carry out that duty and function. And we do know, based on her orders, that she has, in fact, been reviewing records that have been made available to her in unredacted format. And, you know, the curious thing is this is all statutory. So if the General Assembly is, let's say, potentially unhappy with the fact that special session may be disrupted by not having access, it's entirely possible they could come back in January and just change the law so that the way this case has spun out of control would be addressed by statutory changes so that this might not happen anymore.
Well, let me just end it on this. You've got the school, your church, and some parents groups who have said, no, we don't want it released. We know that there are about 20 of these journals. We also know that the shooter was at one point a student at that school some years back. Is there some concern that what's in those journals may go back to the time when this individual was actually a student, and that some of the things that may have happened back then are the things that the church and the school and the parents groups do not want revealed?
At this point, there is really no way to know other than the information that's held by the Metro Police Department that has the records unredacted, the TBI, the FBI, and the judge. And they're not disclosing any of that information. We do know, based upon what the police department said previously, that there's approximately 20 different documents. So this, we're not right. talking about when we say manifesto, you know, a last-minute suicide note of, you know, I'm off to, you know, do this, that, or the other. There are notebooks of information that right. you would not anticipate would have been compiled just in the last few hours before she acted.
Yeah, I mean, by some indications, about 20 different journals that they may be having to go through and look through and understand. All right. Well, listen, John, thank you so much for the update on all this, and I do appreciate you helping us understand.